Hey friends, here are three ways to improve yourself if you want, that have the potential to massively improve your life and your happiness that don't involve your physical appearance. So I spent a lot of time talking to people in our community, and I feel like there's been an increase in the amount of people who want to optimize for their physical appearance. Now, granted, this amount was probably already very high in the fitness community, but I feel like with recent terms like looks maxing, that this interest has continued to surge. And whether right or wrong, a lot of people do get into fitness with the interest of changing or improving some part of their physical appearance. And you could argue that's not the best motivator, but if it's what gets someone started and it works for them, then I don't necessarily want to take that away from them or argue about it. Of course, just like with everything, some of us, not all of us of course, may get a little bit too obsessed and concerned about our physical appearance to the point where it's stressing us out a little bit more than it should. And part of self-improvement, in my opinion, is not just changing things that we can about ourselves, but identifying and learning to accept the things that we can't change or can't change as much. And I'm not saying things like our height and our jawline don't matter, because they might, but I think it can be healthy to recognize that our physical appearance is only one part of the human experience, and there are other ways to improve ourselves that might have a much larger impact than we might realize. For example, learning to articulate your thoughts and express yourself clearly is a wonderful skill that we can learn that can impact almost all aspects of our lives. And I used to think this meant enunciating every single syllable I spoke and somehow speaking in perfectly formatted 5-paragraph essays. And while that can work for some people, it doesn't work for everyone, and it didn't work for me. So perhaps a broader definition that's better suited to what I mean is learning to communicate yourself clearly in a way that seems authentic to you and is clear and authentic to other people. Very importantly, across many different types of people, because a lot of us feel like we can do that with our friends, but then we struggle at the doctor's office or in our workplace or at school. So learning to do this across many different types of people is part of the skill. And it's interesting to me because most of us know when asked that this is a skill that can be developed, but I don't think we see it as often. So we aren't as inspired or aware of how much it can impact our lives. If you go on Instagram, it's not that uncommon to find someone who was struggling to lift 45 pounds a few years ago, and then fast forward to now, they're lifting 405 pounds, which is awesome, that's wonderful. But we also don't see as often someone struggling to speak a few years ago, and nowadays they are successful at giving lectures and speeches and being great at that, or inspiring millions of people, because communication is a very powerful skill. And a good way to start is finding a friend that you can trust to practice communicating verbally and through written word that can give you feedback that, again, you trust and you feel is kind and helpful. So written's probably a little simpler. You can write down something, your thoughts on a topic, probably one that you feel strongly about or you know a lot about, and you can ask yourself, is there a way to make this clearer? Then you can ask your friend that you trust. Ask yourself, is there anything that can be misunderstood here? Is there any other point that I can make simpler in a way that doesn't destroy the meaning, keeps the same meaning and feeling, but with fewer words, so it's less likely to be misunderstood? That's the point. Shorter isn't always better. That combined with two very important things. One is finding your own personal cadence. I used to think I would have to speak very slowly like this in order for anybody to understand me. And I try to do that for months and months, and it literally hurt my brain because I already knew what I was going to say. So what I've learned is that everybody has a different cadence. I'm not sure why, like brain waves or something. That combined with learning to find the flow and the rhythm of a conversation, because something that I noticed and learned is that each conversation that's substantial is like a song. We're all playing different instruments in that. I used to be nervous when it was a consultation or something, because I used to interject and say, excuse me, there's this thing that I definitely wanted to bring up, which you sometimes have to do. But if you feel in tune with a conversation, the way you're in tune with a song, you identify places like, this is a place to bring up this topic. This is a place to bring up this topic. And if we're aware and focused on two or three things, sometimes one, that we want to communicate, these things will naturally come up. Just try it out. So something that can help you learn that skill and other skills is the ability to manage your focus. And that can mean a lot of different things. So I mean two specific ones. One is the ability to start and continue on something even when you don't feel like it. And the second is the ability to not think about something, even when it feels like that's all you want to think about. So they're related, but they almost feel like opposites in some way. And before I go further, I do want to mention that I know there are some mental illnesses and disorders that are related to this that might make it very difficult or impossible, perhaps, in some cases, for people to learn the skill. And I don't want to invalidate that, but I do want to talk about the value of this. So whether through medication or therapy or even some spiritual paths, if you can find or develop the skill at all, I think it could be helpful. Because I feel like a recurring theme in many of our lives is having things build up on us, and that adds a subconscious layer of stress to our lives. So it starts as early as school when you have assignments that are due several months from now. You're like, I'll just do that later. I wish I could tell people that doesn't happen in adulthood, but it does. You have applications, you have paperwork, you deal with insurance. And while I did try to be more responsible and try to tackle these head on and manage my deadlines a little better, something that inadvertently ended up helping me was prayer. I don't mean this really in a religious context, but a focus context. So if you don't like prayer and you want something secular, you can do meditation. But either way, something where you sit and ruminate and just think about your life for a few minutes a day, every day. I ended up committing to praying for a few minutes a day. And what I found is, outside of times of trouble, I didn't usually feel like praying. Because I usually ended up doing it at the end of the night, and I was often tired, and I always taught myself, like, you know, maybe I won't do it today, I can do it tomorrow, I don't have the couple minutes, even though I actually really did, usually. So what I would end up doing, because I want to keep my commitment, is, well, I'll just do something for 30 seconds to a minute. 30 seconds is like an Instagram reel, right? So I have time for that. So I would start, and I would say, well, I want to do a brief version of this. And what I discovered is, more times than not, almost always, after I started thinking about it, and thinking about ways to improve, and people I wanted to help, and things I wanted to improve about myself, I would end up going. And a few minutes in, or a minute in, it ended up being harder for me to stop than it was to keep going. So that was really cool. And the second really cool thing I noticed was this ended up spilling over into other parts of my life. So when I did have a deadline come up, or I did have paperwork I needed to do, when I did have business things, we want to talk about hybrid or content or meetings, I started seeing myself dedicate an hour a day or a few minutes a day. And I would say, well, I'll just start on this and see if I can do this. And because I start and took that first step and overcame that first hurdle, the rest of it was a lot easier. And I would finish this thing that I put off for months and I would do it in a few minutes. And I'd say, well, what about this related thing that I've also been putting off? And I would do that. And as a result, I now have a lot fewer things building up in my life. Things that many of you can probably think of. Watching this, you're like, what are some things that you know you should have done that you haven't done yet? What the skill did for me was greatly reduce that. And the second thing is a lot simpler to explain, but no less important. And it's something I learned from my wife, because we've had many discussions. I really like communication. And there are some things that we might disagree on, or even just a regular discussion that we want to talk through. And sometimes she would say, well, I don't really want to think about this right now, so let's talk about it later. And for me, it's almost like I have this crushing pressure. When I do think about something, I want to get it resolved right now. And she would say, no, I want to talk about it later. And I would feel like, well, I'm going to forget about it later, or it just feels like I need to handle this right now, and it's only going to get worse. But I did that. And turns out that the next day, sometimes a solution would reveal itself. Not because I got smarter or anything, but probably because I was able to revisit that when I didn't have adrenaline or other stress hormones swirling in my body, affecting my perception and my choices. So the ability to not think about something, even though I wanted to think about it, was something that also really helped. You see how it's an opposite to what I talked about? Because the other one's about starting and building momentum, and this one's about halting momentum you might already have and going a different direction. And this really helped my agility in life, because sometimes when I've started something on a day, or even if a day started on a bad note, it's less likely to color the rest of my day when I can think, I'm just not gonna think about this. I'm going to try not to think about it. I'll think about something else. And that's something where the first skill can come in, because I can start thinking about that thing and build up momentum in something else and pivot away from that direction has really increased my happiness, because there are plenty of things where I probably would have made the wrong choice or a worse choice if I had handled it the way I wanted and made a decision right away and started doing it right away. Sometimes we just have better clarity later when we have more information or we've slept on it. So two different ways to manage your focus. And the last skill we can work on that kind of ties all of this together is the ability to be introspective, which is kind of what we're doing in this video. And what I mean by this is the ability to look within ourselves, find flaws and room for improvement without letting it destroy us. So in the process of finding problems, we don't want to be so stressed by that problem that it causes a new problem. And the benefit of this is the surface level one of becoming a more enjoyable, self-aware person, because it is nice to hang out with someone who is willing to recognize when they're wrong and willing to work on themselves and change within reason. And there's also a secondary benefit I found, but first I'll add some clarity, because one of the pushbacks I get against this is people say, Hampton, the problem is that people want to improve themselves when they're already perfect just the way they are. And I can't say this is wrong about you or anyone else, because you might be perfect the way you are. But in my opinion, as someone who's trying to work on himself and tries to recognize and learn about himself, I am not perfect the way I am. I do have flaws and room for improvement. I still love myself, but I recognize there are definitely things that I can work on. But at the same time, I also know what you mean, because I feel like all of us have a core, an essence of what makes us us. To use a pretty surface level basic example, you might like the color blue, and you don't know why you do. Others like different colors, and that's fine, but you like blue, and that's never gonna change, and that's just how you always are. And in my opinion, yes, you don't ever have to change that about yourself. That is part of your essence, it's part of who you are, and you can learn to love and embrace that. However, there are also things around our core that include our skills and our capabilities. And these are things I feel like we can improve if we are chronically late and we miss appointments. Not culturally, but where you consistently show up beyond the time that everyone, including you, agreed and people are upset and that causes issues. Maybe that's something you can work on. If you are commonly criticized for not caring about other people and being selfish, and you've looked within yourself and you think, maybe there's a possibility that I am selfish, that's one potential way you can work on yourself. And there are also some darker examples that I'll bring up, which might connect with some people, where we may struggle, unfortunately, with some addiction or some severe personality issues that aren't always our fault, but are ways we can work on, not necessarily by ourselves, but maybe through a trained professional. Sometimes the process does take years, but hopefully it can still yield benefits for you. So the secondary benefit of learning to be more introspective and self-aware is as we identify things about ourselves and analyze them, we don't just find things that are wrong, but we also find things that might be right for us. If we find something that everyone is calling wrong and we say, while this may not work for other people, it does seem to work for me. This is actually part of my essence. And on the other hand, if everyone is pushing us towards something and saying it's right, and we do think it's right initially, but after some experience and some analysis, we realize that it's actually not for us. Because growing our true essential self sounds good in theory, right? But I feel like it's hard to know exactly what that is without going through a journey. And that journey is our life. And we take steps to look within ourselves and our history and our life and find ways where we want to improve and find ways where we want to maintain. We end up becoming more aware of our true essential self. So that's a secondary benefit. So there you go. There are three simple but deep ways to improve yourself that aren't related to your physical appearance. One, the ability to communicate and articulate yourself in a way that feels authentic to you so you can connect with other humans or intelligent animals and robots. And two, the ability to manage your focus so you can stay on top of your life and work on the things that you know you want to work on. And three, the ability of introspection, which is partially what we're doing in this video, so we can look within ourselves, identify what we want to fix and what we want to keep and act upon that. Now, if you do want to work on your body and mind, we have a free fitness routine at hybridcalisthenics.com/routine. There's also a free fitness app that's in beta, also called Hybrid Calisthenics. You can find it in the Play Store and the App Store. It tells you exactly what to do and when to move on. Here's a link if you want free support from certified trainers that are friends of mine. And if you want a book or ebook version of the routine, we also have that available. Thank you so much for watching. Have a beautiful day. I finished my coffee before filming was over. That was just water.